Star Trek, the TV program from the 60s.
These are the commentaries of the siblings Alex and Sammy.
Their ongoing mission? To discuss creative science fiction concepts.
To examine interesting character dynamics and occasionally terrible writing.
To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Greetings to all non-corporeal beings and astral phantasms and gaseous entities living in space.
I want to say greetings only to the alien species where the females have boobies.
Okay, all right. So anyone that's just a talking ball of gas or any alien with boobs, you're our new target demographic. We've noticed we're not
everyone
really...
Everyone else, suck it.
Right, we're not really hitting the mark with most humans, so... And Samuel B., that's our entire audience now, is... So humans, you're out. Floating gaseous blobs with mm-hmm. you know, lightning powers, you're in. You're our new... Mm-hmm. You're our new favorites,
you're
so...
It.
Forget everyone else, it's for them now.
We do it for you.
That's
you're the
right.
real one.
Welcome to the show. This is Star Trek, the Original Siblings Podcast, a show where we watch episodes of Star Trek and tell you who we think is hot and who we think is ugly. And that's pretty much it, right?
That's like the whole thing.
That's really the main thrust of the show, I'd say, at this point.
You know, yeah, I just can't see a hot person and not call it out. And, you know, in the same way, I can't see an ugly person and not call it out. Like in my Zoom window right now, I see somebody really ugly.
Oh no. I must have to turn
just
down the lights
kidding.
A little bit. Yes, it is I, the ugly brother Alex.
And me, the beautiful sister Sammy. Welcome.
And who could forget our other important member of the show? My chair. My creaky chair. Who may have been the only one to make more sound than either of us or the show last week, so...
Oh, really?
I'm gonna do what I can to sit a little more still in today's
that
episode.
That is so unprofessional.
I don't know what that's about.
You're losing listeners so rapidly because you're just like such
that's
a
what
little
it,
worm.
That's what it is. It's the chair.
Goddamn chair.
Yeah, I gotta get control of this thing.
You gotta
I feel
get a
like
new captain's
quiet.
Chair. You can't handle it.
Right? I don't ever hear my chair making noise during the day, but it's like that episode, it was like every couple of seconds. I'm like, what am I doing? It's like I'm sitting in a
rocking
chair.
Did you have like a
chair.
Cup of coffee? Were you just like really excited? It was a really good episode. You were on the edge of your seat.
That must have been what it was. I was just so excited.
I respect that.
So what can you do? Anyway, here we are back for another one. We're glad you joined us. How you doing today,
yeah,
Sammy?
Welcome. I'm doing good. Where I live, we're having a cleaning week. So I've just been like deep cleaning the kitchen all week. And I was like, this is a task for one day, but like, wow, it is not. It's been intense. I don't know when the last time the whole kitchen was like deep cleaned was, but like it needed it.
It's a task for one day in like the same way that God made the earth in 7 days type of deal, you know, where it's like,
yeah.
When we say 7 days, what we really meant was 60 billion years or so. It's like the same with your house. You're like, I'm going to clean this in one day. And by that, I mean 2 weeks.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
It's the poetic
There's so many similarities between me and God and creating the world and cleaning a kitchen. How about you? How are you?
I'm good. I went and visited my buddy Sean over the weekend, who's a big Star Trek fan, and he hasn't watched original series, but I bet he'll get around to this show, so I'll give him a shout out.
Hi, Sean.
Sean knows where every cast member of Star Trek, of all the versions, he knows where they're from. He knows a ton about, like, Star Trek and all the, you know, behind the scenes fandom in general. He's one of those types of fans, but he's but specifically he kept telling me like, oh, this guy's actually from you know, just a bit north of here. Oh, and this guy's actually
weird. I feel like I don't care.
He's like, this Ferengi's brother actually grew up in this town. I'm like, how
that's
do you know
so
this?
Weird. Oh my gosh. But I guess like, okay, when mom and dad moved to Phoenix, I was like, oh my God, Stevie Nicks is from Phoenix. So I was like stoked about it. So I kind of get it.
Right. I can certainly do that for a couple of my very favorite people. But And then a couple of randos, I know that Bruce Springsteen is from New Jersey.
Everybody knows that Bruce Springsteen is from New Jersey.
I only know that because I feel like he's so, like, his whole thing is being, like, middle American working man type of thing. And he's from way out here. I don't know. I guess it
no,
works.
No, it's like, I'm it's like, not like a Midwest thing. It's like a lower to middle class kind of thing.
Sure, okay. I
it's
guess
like a blue collar
sense.
Kind of vibe.
Yeah,
and
which is
that's for everyone.
Yeah. What could be more blue collar than
regardless
Bruce Springsteen and his $300 concert tickets?
You know what? Bruce Springsteen has excellent politics and he has lots of great songs where he talks about the working class, and so you are not gonna
he
dunk
just,
on
he
Bruce
just doesn't
Springsteen
let them in
like
his
that.
Shows is all.
That could be true. I don't know. I guess I don't know how much a Bruce Springsteen ticket costs.
Very
so.
Expensive. They're very expensive. They're famously one of the more expensive concert tickets available.
You know what? I'm going to keep defending Bruce Springsteen. You know, with all these streaming sites, he's not getting any money from record sales like he used to. So he's just adapting.
Yeah, he's risking going broke, I'm sure. Speaking of rich and successful people, our hero, William Shatner, is back from space.
Oh, yeah. What's up with that?
He boldly went, and now he's back.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the whole, fuck Jeff Bezos, I'll just say it.
Yeah, I feel like I just, like, feel that so strongly, that, like,
yeah,
everything he does is, like, revolting to me. Yeah, he's
I know,
disgusting.
It's like, I heard something the other day about, like Donald Trump is closer to homelessness than he is to having the same amount of wealth as Jeff Bezos.
Disgusting.
Like, just to put you in perspective of how much money that guy has, like...
Yeah. Like, not to say eat the rich, but, like, eat the rich is what I'm
like,
saying.
Like, please. Like, oh, what a menace to society. But fun for Shatner that he got to go to space. It does feel like a fitting end to his journey, but the guy's 90, so it's like, I don't imagine
he's
Shatner 90? Making headlines. I'm pretty sure he's 90, isn't he?
I love that he just keeps getting puffier every year. I thought he was in his, like, 70s.
Yeah, he just keeps putting another Shatner face over his face. No, I think he's 90, if I remember correctly, so...
Okay, I have no
idea. He's kind of at the end of the road here, so it's kind of like, you know, we're not going to see a lot more headlines. You know, there's one headline we're for sure going to see about him, but, you know, we're not going to probably hear about him a lot more until then, I imagine, although, who's to say? What do you think the newspapers will say when he croaks? You think it'll be, Jim's dead, Jim?
Oh my god, did you just come up with that?
I guess. I kind of.
That's
well,
pretty,
I specifically.
I think it's
kind of
clever.
I was thinking about Leonard Nimoy, I guess. Or not Leonard Nimoy, excuse me. DeForest Kelly. There's my chair. That's what I do.
Oh my god, that is so annoying.
Right? DeForest Kelly, now I'll have to fact check myself on this, but I believe DeForest Kelly said before he died, you know, because he went back and forth a lot about his involvement in Star Trek and how proud he was or wasn't to be involved. And like, you know, at times...
I think a lot of people who are famous for like one thing have that experience.
Yeah, well, and especially these really remarkable actors like Nimoy and like DeForest Kelly, you know, who it's like, you know, at some level do they or like Patrick Stewart is like do they feel like embarrassed to be involved in you know this silly space adventure and I think DeForest Kelly was a guy who felt that way a lot like you know like you know he reflects
like,
his character in the
actor.
Sense of being like yeah like this is like kind of a goofy thing and this was what I ended up being like my whole career kind of and
totally.
so he I think kind of like resented it for a long time but then he came around later in his life and was like no actually I think it's really great that I was able to do this and that you know the characters mean so much to everybody and all this stuff and he, you know so he kind of came to terms with it but what he said was he's like the only thing that is like really vital to me is like I don't want people to think of me as a joke. For example, when I die, I do not want the newspaper headlines to say he's dead, Jim. And all across the country, the day he died, of course, that's what every single newspaper says is he's dead, Jim. Because how could they not? But isn't it too bad? It's the one thing he specifically requested not happen. He had to fully let go. You know, it was the one thing he was hanging on to. And you know, he had to just allow it to be, this is who I am, this was what I did, and while he's not a joke, he's a real guy, and he is excellent. He was Bones, and that was his line.
It comes from such a place of affection, too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's trying to tease him, like, we all love him, like, but...
Yeah. Well, and Leonard Nimoy had the exact same thing. Like, he had a, I think, autobiography, or maybe you'd call it a memoir, I'm not sure, that was called I Am Not Spock, kind of trying to, like, distance himself from that, kind of, like, feeling, like, a sense of shame. And then later, he came out with, like, a biography or memoir or whatever that was called I Am Spock. So it's just, like, that's the exact same thing that you're describing, is it's just, like, this distancing from this thing that's, like, yeah, that's, like, a little embarrassing. And then, like, you know, you get older and wiser and you, like, realize that, like, being so iconic is, like, kind of a gift, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and this thing that got so big, so much bigger than any one individual member of it, and even, you know,
absolutely.
Star Trek is absolutely bigger than any, probably any given one actor you could think of, you know?
Yeah. It's bigger than, like, Gene Roddenberry. It's bigger than everyone, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty cool to get to be a part of it and get to be a part of this legacy.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
Like, to still have people like us talking about him on a podcast 55 years later or whatever.
Yeah, and still having, like, so much to say.
Right, and speaking of how old the show is, too, you know, I was thinking earlier in the shower specifically, so here's a shower thought for you.
Love these.
So if these episodes are coming out in, like, 66, you know, they're roughly 55 years old or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, I consider Star Trek to pretty much be a show for adults, at least not a kid show anyway. It's like, got some kiddie elements, but I don't really think of it as a kid show. Like, I think Star Wars is something that, like, kids really enjoy. I think Star Trek is something that kids kind of think is boring. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of
some people
really liked it as kids. You don't think so?
I think that, yeah, and you can, like,
I think it's more adult, I guess,
whatever,
than some of these other ones. But yeah, tell me what you think.
I feel like in the 60s, there were, like, so few channels and so few TV shows that, like, there were just shows, you know? I feel like there weren't necessarily, like, target audiences. It was just, you know.
That's a good point. There probably weren't a lot of kids shows in general at that time. So, like, they might not even be making TV programming for kids at that point. They were probably mostly focusing on adults. At least, I don't know kids shows from that era, if they were around. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with what they were. So you're right.
Yeah,
I probably am wrong about
that.
I was just thinking about if you were an adult watching Star Trek when it came out, basically you're at least probably, like, in your 70s, at least, like, 73 or so at this point, if you were, like, an adult when these episodes were coming out, which is crazy. And then you gotta think, you know, how much of what percentage of 73 year olds, you know, that were around when this was happening were actually paying attention to it and watching it. And so it's just crazy to think about, like, how many people that watched this show when it first came out are still kicking, I guess. It's like this show is, you know, the majority of people watching the show nowadays are like us, are, like, retrospective viewers. It's just what I think is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
There's only so many shows that fit into that box. You know, I guess any show from a certain time period is that way, but it's like, but that there's more viewers probably now than there ever was before. I don't think you could say that about some of these older shows.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think it's interesting that it's kind of aged so well, really, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, totally.
So there's Alex Shower Thoughts. That's a segment that we don't have a sound cue for.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say, when you were talking about, like, where everybody's from or whatever, like Sean was saying, so I realized, okay, so I was on Tumblr the other day, and it was, like, this question where it was, like, oh, like, put in the tags, who's a famous person that you have the same birthday as? And I was, like, every time it's my birthday, I feel like I, like, look on the, like, list of people who have, like, the same birthday. And, like, it's nobody that I, like, it's, like, some people that I kind of recognize, but
yeah,
nobody that,
like,
I, like,
Hitler.
Really recognize.
God dang it.
No, it's not even that. It's just, like, oh, Ken Burns, the, like, documentarian, like, whatever. Like, I'm not excited about that. Oh. But then I found somebody who has the same birthday as me, and it's Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton that shares a birthday with you?
Me and Wesley have the same birthday.
Oh my God.
Isn't that fun?
Great.
I was super excited because I must have looked at that list before and seen that name and not known who it was because I only started watching Next Gen a few years ago. So I was just like, nobody has my birthday. I was like, ah, Wesley Crusher.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Nice. He seems great. He seems like a wonderful fellow.
Yeah. Well, we're birthday buds. Fellow Leos.
That's perfect. Yeah, I don't know who shares my... I do the same thing, and I'm always, like, a bunch of hoo-ha.
Like, disappointed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all the Duffy, as they say. Or is that Hufflepuff?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea what you're talking about. I think I vaguely know what you're saying.
Oh, isn't that... I thought that was how they described them in the first book, is...
I think, okay.
And Hufflepuff is just all the Duffy. I thought you knew the first audio by heart.
I know, but I only know the audiobooks, and I think it might be something like that, but it could also be like a lot of Duffel. Like, I'm not really sure because yeah, it's just like in my mind, I can just hear a British voice. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe I misquoted it. Well, oh well. We'll bring it up in this segment next week, which is our first segment.
I find this most illogical.
This is Highly Illogical, the segment where we correct all the wrong stuff that we said in last week's episode. So, to kick into it, this is funny. This is like an ongoing one now, because I talked about this last week too. Kronos, the Klingon homeworld. Mm-hmm. We talked about last week that that's what it's called. Now, I'm following up by saying it was first called that. The name Kronos was canonically established in Star Trek V. The Undiscovered Country.
Oh, all right.
So that's when it first became a thing. And you haven't seen that one, right?
I have not. I've only seen 2, 3, and 4.
That's right. You haven't seen 1 either. And you didn't know 5 and 6 existed until fairly recently, right? It was kind of like a nice surprise for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I thought 5 and 6 was where they started with the next gen gang. I didn't realize that they had more movies with, like, the TOS gang, so I'm super excited to watch them at some point.
Yeah, and even 7 still has at least some of them. It's still got Kirk and Scotty.
Okay.
And Uhura or something? There's at least 3 of them. It might be Chekhov or someone. It's mostly Kirk.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Kirk's still in 7, though, if you haven't watched 7 yet either.
No,
maybe
I
we can watch that together at Thanksgiving.
Ooh, sounds good. Okay, so last episode I pointed out that Bones, for some reason, has 2 separate Starfleet uniforms. One regular one, like everyone else's, and one short-sleeved baggy one that he sometimes wears, and he looks bad in. It turns out the short-sleeved baggy uniform is actually his Starfleet medical tunic, worn while conducting medical procedures, which I think is what you said, right, Alex?
That is what I said, but I was guessing. I was talking out of my ass, so the fact that I was, like, spot on is shocking. As this segment shows, I generally, when I'm guessing, am not right, so...
Not a good guesser.
Right? Okay, let's see. Last week, I used the term gypped, which you can't say. Not good to say that. It's offensive to gypsies. It's not a politically correct term.
And actually, the word gypsies, Alex, is offensive to Romani people. So.
Is it? I didn't know that either. See,
yeah,
so.
That's it's a slur.
God, see, so I don't know any of this shit. So anyway.
That's okay. We're learning.
Right? So, right.
Just an FYI for everyone and for us.
Now you all know you can learn from my mistake. I caught it right when I said it, but look, I still didn't even know who I was offending. So don't say it. That's just such a...
But he accepted it so graciously. I appreciate that, Alex.
Right? It's just such a word that rolls right off the tongue. It's so, like, built into my vernacular. I was shocked to find that it was offensive. So it's like...
Oh, my God.
I bet I'm going to catch myself saying it still. Like, it's going to take me, like, I'm going to have to train myself to not say that anymore.
Yeah, you
I
just,
need
like,
another
correct
phrase.
Yourself
I gotta
figure
say,
it out.
I need, like, a lighthearted word for screwed, you know?
Ripped
like,
off.
Ripped off. Yeah, I'll
not
find it.
Not as fun, but...
I'll find my right word.
I was browsing Facebook the other day, and I saw that, like, a friend of a friend named their daughter that, the G slur, and I was just like,
Gypsy?
Oh, yeah. And I was like, white people must be stopped. It was so cringy.
Oh, boy. Oh, it was a white person, too. Oh.
Yeah.
Of
Big
course.
Yuck. Big yikes.
Yeah, so if you're one of Sammy's friends if that person happens to be listening, or maybe this is way down the road, maybe 20 years later, if you're gypsy right now and you're listening,
stop saying it.
We're sorry. Well, it's but now I'm saying it as a person's name, so I'm not using it as an offensive term. I'm saying it as the name of this white child.
Oh no. Okay. Next thing. So, Gracely Whitney, the actress who played Yaman Rand, did quit the show due to being sexually harassed by an unnamed executive from the show, which is so shitty and very 60s, but as we know, that kind of thing still happens today, and it's deeply fucked up. Women should be able to live their lives and work their jobs without getting harassed and assaulted.
Yes, and I have more thoughts on that, but let me say my correction, too, or I guess it's not a correction so much as a clarification, which is that right along those same lines, we both mentioned last week, too, that there's potentially issues of, like, sexual harassment and misconduct from both Gene Roddenberry and then later Rick Berman with the other shows. And so I looked into both a lot of this and found a lot of stuff, And just to summarize it, in short, it's true they were both kind of really problematic guys. In today's culture, they would not have been cool to be acting the way they were acting and having the jobs that they have. But as Sammy said, you know, at least in the case of Roddenberry, that was 60s Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's... I found a lot of interesting stuff. So, of course, yeah, Yamin Rand, which, like, you can guess from the way that women are presented on the screen mm-hmm. and in the show and the amount of misogyny, like, we're already seeing, like, within the writing. If that's the, to them, like, the presentable side of things, you can only imagine how bad things must be behind the scenes.
Yeah, or, like, their outlook of, like, a future where women are treated equally, you know? Like, yeah. That is something that they have in mind. And, like, even their, like, future where everyone is treated equally is still, like, just, like, riddled with misogyny.
Yeah, and so poor Grace Lee Whitney, who plays Yamin Rand, because not only is her character, like, constantly portrayed in just this, like, very problematic way, but then also behind the scenes she's being mistreated, and it's, like, and it's tough because she's, like, at some level is, like, a kind of a feminist hero, like, that she put up with all this and was, like, on screen and all this mm-hmm. stuff, but it's, like, her legacy is, like, the exact opposite, you know, and so it's,
Yeah.
She did. Too bad.
Like, it was actually, like, really brave of her to, like, speak out against it and leave the show. Cause I think that was, like, her choice to leave. Was her being like, this is not
yes,
okay, I'm
yeah,
leaving.
And,
like, that's pretty incredible in and of itself. And also, I know I shit on Rand a lot, but I just want to clarify that it's all about the writing. Like,
Nothing but
love for Grace Lee Whitney.
Yeah, and so brave of her to leave. But Rick Berman, though, was really misogynistic and creepy and was specifically always talking to women about the size of their boobs and, like, saying that they needed bigger boobs and, like, saying that their boobs were too small and just, like, insulting them to their faces and all this stuff. And so it's, like, across all of his shows, like, all these women hate him constantly. It's, like, the actress that plays Dak in DS9. I mean, I think a lot of the fans probably already know this, so I won't get too in depth of it, but but basically she basically quit just because he was such a jerk to her.
Ugh.
And then, like, I think somewhat the same for Tasha Yar. I think
I was about to ask about situation. That because it was so weird that she left.
Yeah, and Gates McFadden too. This is not, and neither of these are, like, verified or what's the word to say? I don't know. Like,
it's just,
so
like,
this
speculation.
This is all alleged, but potentially that's why Gates McFadden left after season one of TNG as well. And then she, of course, eventually came back. But it sounds like he was just a real goon all the time, which I guess is why we only get to have one or two women on each show.
Which is,
they're
so
treated like this. So it's really a shame. So unacceptable. It's crazy. Like, now when we look back, the fact that Me Too is, like, such a recent thing is, like, kind of mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look back at all this other stuff, it's like, it was so long overdue. It's just crazy.
Yeah, glad seriously.
Glad that the world is changing in the ways that it is. I think it could still stand to change maybe even a little faster. The TV
Absolutely.
Industry is still a tough place, especially mm-hmm. for women.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I can't believe I went through all that without ever pressing this.
Sexism alert. We should just play that throughout the entire show.
I know, really. Oh, I was going to actually... No, I had another thought along that, too. I mm-hmm. can't believe how much of this I read. So it's like parts of it are coming back to me. It was hard to hone in on any one thing because it was like there's so many small things and so many rumored things. There wasn't like a defining, like, this was the thing they did. But I was reading that Nichelle Nichols, so that's Uhura, in her mm-hmm. book, talked about, I guess when she had first started the show, she was sleeping with Gene Roddenberry and for a bit of the first season that they were together. So now there's an interesting aspect
of... Do you
feel
like that was, like, coercive?
No, it sounds like it was all consensual, and she said he... was like kind of like, you know, when they kind of stopped seeing each other, he was like kind of weird about it, but also like it doesn't sound like he was terribly problematic about it, but I think there's a problematicness if you just look at the fact that, like, if so we have three women now we've seen on the cast. We have Nurse Chapel, who dates and later marries Gene Roddenberry. We have Nichelle Nichols, who was sleeping with Gene Roddenberry. And then we have Yamin Rand, who has to quit the show because she's sexually harassed. And I guess a lot of the rumors surrounding Roddenberry stuff about, like, casting couch type stuff, which, like...
Definitely. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Maybe in the 60s that was, like, common practice. Maybe it was just known that, like, oh, well, if you want to be a woman and be in movies, you have to sleep with the director. Like, that. Maybe that was just the standard of the 60s, which is... I don't know that it was, but like I don't even know if this was an especially problematic show or if it was like if this show was like considered like one of the less problematic ones. It's just like it was a crazy time.
No idea. Yeah,
would not want to be in Hollywood back in those days.
Seriously.
Anyway, wow. So that's interesting stuff there.
Man, that's so wild. And our last correction, or just fun fact, is Baylock, is actually played by, this is crazy, 7-year-old Clint Howard, who is actually the brother of director-producer Ron Howard, who does Apollo 13, The Da Vinci Code, narrator
he's
for
the
Arrested
narrator
Development.
In Arrested Development, yeah.
Haha, beat you
he
to
also,
it.
He also replaced the 21 Jump Street guys to direct the Han Solo movie. I don't know if you remember that more recently.
Oh, I really like that. I don't think you did, but I was a big fan.
I thought it was fine. I think they did a decent job. I think
okay,
it was,
cool.
I think it's maybe the best Star Wars I've seen since the original trilogy.
Yeah, it was a good one. Clint Howard would go on to make appearances as different characters in DS9, Enterprise, and Discovery. Baylock's voice is also provided by the one and only Ted Cassidy, better known as Ruck. That's crazy. Remember Ruck, the big ugly guy from the Mad Scientist episode? That's so fun.
Right? Yeah, the guy who plays Lurch in the Addams Family. I'm glad you got to see my big weird head. Whatever he says.
Wow, that was a good Ruck impression.
No, that was Baylock.
Oh, you're right.
So that was highly
same
illogical.
Guy.
Totally. Completely. Absolutely. Irrevocably. Highly. Illogical.
And now we're going to open our hailing frequencies.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
This is the Frequencies Open segment where we read messages that, subspace messages, excuse me, that we've received from our listenership. At least that was the intention of the segment when we started it, but now it has turned into a segment where we just read messages from our pen pal, Samuel B. Our sole listener, and I'm glad that he is so devoted to it, at least, or else this would just be an awkward segment where we talk about how nobody listens to the show every week.
You're so right. Thank goodness for Sam.
But you are all invited to write into the show, even if you were listening to this way after the fact. You know, maybe we're getting some late listeners who, you know, they're like, oh, well, this came out 6 months or a year ago. Still feel free to write in, you know?
We don't care. We still want to hear from you.
Yeah, we just want to hear from you guys. Just somebody please prove that somebody is listening to this podcast. I'm starting to think that Samuel B. might be literally the only person who's listening to this. So prove us wrong. Send us a message. But in the meantime, we're going to read another message from Samuel B. And I'm not going to sing it, but he gets his theme music, of course. Hi, Sammy and Alex. I was just listening to your episode on the Corbinite Maneuver, or as we Canadians spell it, maneuver with an O, and wow, thank you so much for the theme song. I absolutely lost my mind. One of the highlights of my day. I played it for my partner, and she said she's glad I'm getting the attention I deserve so I can leave her alone. If I have to pick an alien society to live on, I will choose to live on Betazoid, he says.
Oh, Betazoid! That's so obvious.
Right? He says, they seem pretty chill. But you know, it's funny, I was thinking, because that crossed my mind, is like, oh, yeah, I could do Betazoid, but I'm like, everyone would be reading my mind all day. And
yeah,
like,
I think I'm too horny for Betazoid. Like, I would just, like, see hot people and just, like, lose it.
Yeah, like, even just, I couldn't even interact with just Deanna Troi. I'm like, I don't want her to know what I'm thinking while I'm talking to her.
Oh
like,
my god. Wow.
She's gonna know what a creep I am.
Same. She's used to it. She has to be.
Right? Maybe on Betazoid, I like to think that maybe there's kind of a culture of, like, because they can all read each other's minds, they probably get much better about, like, just being open and not having such a sense of shame about
yeah,
so many things.
I think they do a good job of that. Yeah, of showing that everybody's just, like, yeah, communicates.
Yeah, openly. And they're all just really accepting. So, in a lot of ways, maybe it's, like, really ideal. Like, maybe they're more emotionally healthy than us in a lot of ways because they just have because they're just like an open, you know, an open sore all the time or whatever. They just everyone knows how you're feeling and what you're thinking.
I also think it's important to, like, mental health to be able to just, like, keep some things to yourself and just, like, think about things and not share everything, you know? Like, I think there's, yeah, like, two sides of it.
Yeah, you're right. Some privacy and stuff. So it's tricky, but it would certainly be an interesting visit, you know? Anyway, mm-hmm. He says, I would not, however, join Starfleet because I don't want to catch a weird space disease or get turned into a 10-year-old or shot by Klingons.
Valid. So,
that's fair. I'm going to stay at home with my holodeck, thanks. FYI, the episode was one of the first filmed, but it was aired out of order due to the special effects taking longer, which is why Kirk acts so differently to Janice.
Hmm.
I actually thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because we were pointing out, although we didn't get to, we only saw the updated special effects, so I guess we don't really know what the special effect looked like.
I've seen the original ones. And they, okay. I've seen the original and they looked pretty similar.
Nice. I got to see a picture the other day, I can't believe I didn't know this, of the Enterprise, of like the model of the Enterprise they used to film the show.
Uh-huh.
This makes me feel so dumb, especially as someone who works in TV, but mm-hmm. It's way bigger than I thought. It's like 6 or 8 feet long. It's like huge. And for whatever reason, I was assuming it was like a toy. I thought it was like 3 inches long because I just assumed it was like on a string sort of a thing. And I'm like,
yeah, no, I think they do that. They must have multiple models because there's definitely one that's like, yeah, like little thing on a string. And I know that because there's going to be one episode eventually when the ship, I think it's like, maybe it's the like episode that coined the term bottle episode because the ship is like frozen in like a thing or something, and you see like they use the actual model. I'm not explaining this well, but basically you see on the show the model the size it is. That would make sense because I think that, yeah, the one that they used for the show is like pretty little.
Yeah, like I've been trying to figure out watching Deep Space Nine, if, because I'm pretty sure the Deep Space Nine is entirely computer generated. I don't think it actually exists.
That makes
sense.
But
Sean was insisting to me that there is actually like a model for it. So
I don't know. Yeah, I guess
I'll look it up for next week's correction segment. Does Deep Space Nine really exist? Anyway, he's finishing Sam's message. He just says, love the episode and looking forward to the next one. Live long and prosper, Samuel B. Live long and prosper to you, Samuel B. You're our hero. Ensign Samuel B. He didn't include his rank in this, in this message.
Yeah, no backstory. He was just too fangirly about the theme, so he forgot his character.
Who can blame him? So frequencies are now being closed, but next time we open them, we'll get any
messages.
No,
they're never closed, guys.
They're eternally open. They're always open. Anytime you send us a message, we'll receive it. We're diligently checking the stosibspod@gmail.com. Did I forget mm-hmm. to say it earlier? I don't think I said it.
Yeah, you did.
So here it is the second time then. stosibspod@gmail.com. Send us a message. You can also follow us on Instagram at that same name if you want to, or Twitter. Maybe one of these days I'll tweet. I think I still haven't.
Whatever.
Forget Twitter. Who uses that anyway? Forget about it. All right. Let's kick into the next segment here.
All right. This next segment is called Guess the Plot. It's the segment where I tell Alex the name of the episode, and he guesses what the episode is going to be about. I think he has a pretty good idea for this one, but we'll still throw it his way. One. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
This was the Menagerie Part 1 and 2. Sorry to say the episode title already, but this is the last two episodes that I saw in my last watch through of the show when I attempted to watch the entire show for the first time in 2019. The great Alex viewing of Star Trek of 2019 ended abruptly after
Menagerie Part 2,
when we decided that we were going to make a podcast. So we've made it back to this point now.
But we also watched The Cage relatively recently together. So, okay, but that's a hint. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give you a hint. What's the Menagerie about?
Well, when I first saw the episode title, because I don't know what a menagerie is, so I now do, but at the time, my mind went straight to that episode of TNG, I think it's called Tapestry. Yes, it is. Where Picard dies.
You don't know what a tapestry is either?
I do know what a tapestry is, and I thought that it was the same thing as a menagerie when I first saw this title. So it made me think of that episode where Picard dies and he gets to see his life, you know, if he wasn't in it or if he'd made different decisions or whatever, and how all the decisions kind of wove together to make his life what it is. That's a great episode, for the record, besides Patrick Stewart having the sex scene with the really young woman. But it's it makes sense in the context. I don't know how else they could have done it. So I don't have like a solution to propose to them, but it's still weird to watch. But anyway. Definitely.
But then he wakes up next to Q.
Right, yeah. Oh my god, so funny. Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like Kirk having all these memories that came together in some sort of meaningful way. They were trying to piece together, like, what do they mean? All these moments, you know? Or maybe he has like his memory wiped and they're trying to, maybe they're going through his memories. They're like inside his head or something. That'd be cool. We could do that with Spock. We got Spock's memories, jumping through Spock memories, almost like Inception type of thing. There's my guess, something like that.
Inspoction.
Did I nail it?
All right. You know? Nope, but that's okay, because that's part of the point. But Alex, so what is a menagerie?
It's like a... And that's so funny. Maybe I don't know. Series of like small, like, it's almost like a tiny zoo, isn't it? Like...
Yeah, I think it's just another word
like
for
a series of small, like, yeah, I thought it was like a zoo for like if you go to like the bug exhibit in the zoo, like that would be a menagerie because it's all these little like glass holes in the wall and you look in and you see the bug or whatever. That's at least that's what I picture when I hear menagerie. Are you looking it up?
I think it's just a zoo. Okay, it says a collection of wild animals kept in captivity for exhibition. So,
okay, so the way that they're displayed is not relevant then.
Correct.
But right, that was so like a cute visual. I still didn't know what a menagerie was. Yeah, right?
No, but you got it. You got it.
Interesting. Now, so I'm still learning. I didn't exactly know.
All right, guys. We're learning about slurs. We're learning good vocab.
We're learning about menageries. And let me say, before we start this episode, I have mixed feelings about this two-part episode. I've already said in the podcast that I feel it should have been all one part. But I see why they did it like this. From a production standpoint, it's brilliant. It's really smart. It's exactly what they should have done. They had already shot this other pilot, so they found a way to mesh it into the...
Oh, yeah, they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah, and they found a way to make it, like, relevant to the current story that they're, like, that Spock and Kirk are experiencing. So that's really smart. Like, I gotta hand it to him there. Like, that's... If I was a producer, that's exactly what I would have done. At least I'd like to think that's exactly what I would have done. But it has a reputation of being a couple of the best episodes of the show, and I don't agree with that. I think that they're... fine, like totally serviceable episodes, but I don't think that they're like transcendent of some of these other great ones, you know. I don't think it's deserving to be in like people's top five list.
I don't think it is, generally.
I think it's a lot on people's lists when they're saying the best episodes. It's like always in there. It's like a
it's
Mock Time, Trouble Tribbles, Mirror Mirror, The Menagerie. Like,
no, Ridge on the Edge of Forever. Wait,
yes, yeah, you're right, Ridge that's on there too forever? All the time.
Something else. City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think it's definitely one of the best episodes in season one, but as we've seen, season one has like some not so great ones.
Yeah, not a lot to compete with, at least with those first 10. Five out of the first 10 were troubled. Anyway, should we kick into our episode here?
Yeah, let's do it.
And now for our feature presentation.
Okay, we're orbiting a purple planet, y'all.
Oh, wow, look at this. This looks great.
And the sky is so purple.
I know, I'm going to pause it already so we can try to describe this. We've got a futuristic city of sorts.
They do a great job of those, what are they called? Those paintings?
Matte paintings.
Yeah, they do such a good job of using those matte paintings. Like, it just looks so real. I feel like these have, like, kind of fallen out of style, but they just, like, create, like, alien worlds like nothing else, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, now we've essentially replaced them with, like, green screen, but it's
not the same.
Just actually having it physically there does make such a difference.
It's magical.
Yeah, and I love this one. It's really cool and, like, futuristic. We've got, like, a futuristic city happening. Mm-hmm. We got, like, skyscrapers of sorts, and they all look... They're kind of funny. They're, like, skyscrapers, but they're huge on the top. They almost look like each one has, like, a UFO landed on top of it. They look like those things next to Met Stadium that they go to in the end of Men in Black, where the roach is trying to steal them. They look like those. I forget what those things are called. And then we got a purple sky with a Saturn-esque planet in it, and some Starfleet uniformed people walking around in the ground.
Yeah, looks great.
Let's see what they're up to.
Oh, we have a semi-gorgeous woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's, like, just, she's average by the show standards, but she's gorgeous by, like, real standards.
Yeah, you know, her wig could use some
All right,
work.
We got the gang.
The big three, they're here.
The boys. The boys are here.
All right, man, when they roll in, it's just like, oh, ladies be swooning.
Right? When we walk in the club.
Totally. When we beam into the club. Oh, and Kirk's eyeliner game is on fleek this episode.
Okay, so Kirk says, y'all called us here, and she said, we didn't call you, and then for some reason he follows her with, like, his, like, sexy little, like, flirty smirk. I don't get it.
Everybody here is kind of a goofy-looking Starfleet badge. It's like a big sun or something.
Well, yeah, because I think the badges are specific to, oh, I don't know, the ship? Maybe?
Oh, I see. Don't know what's happened to Captain Pike. Kirk is, like, really particularly heavy on the eyeliner in this episode, is he not? He looks like evil Kirk.
You keep saying that. I have yet to notice. Let me look next time it shows up. No, he looks normal to me,
honestly. Next time you get a close-up, look what I'm saying. He always has it, but, like, some episodes it's thicker than others.
Oh, look at that cute girl in the background.
Yeah, she was clearly a receptionist. Okay, so we're going to find Captain Pike. Vital active. I took over the Enterprise from
Spock, served with him for several years. 11 years. Oh, I like that detail. What's his
problem, Commodore? Which one?
They did a really good... Well, I just, like... I love what a good job they did in, like, the 2009 Star Trek movie of, like, picking these little details and just, like, really expanding upon them. And I feel like the whole plot with Christopher Pike does that so well.
Yeah, I think they've been doing a lot of this in Discovery lately. I haven't been watching it, but I've heard a lot of mention of Pike and all this stuff.
That's so rad.
Fans are always wanting a Christopher Pike spinoff.
That's interesting.
Yeah, personally, I'm take it or leave it, you know. Yeah, all right, here we go. Here's Pike. He's in the famous wheelchair thingy.
Remember in Futurama when they did the best bit on this?
Yes, they did. Oh my god, it's so funny. Okay, so he's in, like, a big... It's like a combination of a wheelchair, a go-kart, and a giant shoe, almost, that he looks like he's sitting in. And his shoulders and his head are sticking out of it. Half of his face is horribly burned. It's like, purple. And the other half doesn't look much better, but it's not quite as burned as the bad part.
Why do you think is the production reason for making his face all fucked up?
Is this not the actor?
It's not the same actor. Good job. You're so smart.
I never knew that, actually. I hadn't even considered it. So it's really
it's
effective.
It's a new actor, so they made him fucked up.
I've seen this before. They couldn't get the guy back. He was too busy, not getting cast in another pilot.
Having a real career. Oh, come on.
Yeah. I don't think so. That's funny. And we haven't seen it yet, but he speaks with beeps. And the Futurama bit, which, if you guys haven't seen Futurama, I'm just going to straight up tell you the bit, because it's so damn funny.
It's so funny.
He's got the beeps in Futurama, and he says, okay, beep once for yes or twice for no. He's like, did you kill those people? Beep, beep. It's like, double yes. All right. God, it's great.
Double yes.
Zap Brannigan is based on Captain Kirk?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's just hilarious.
I also love the part when, like, is it Fry in the wheelchair? And he's, like, trying to talk, and they're like, please, use the beeps.
Use the
he's
beeps. Like, so he has to sit back down
and he's just, like, beeping rapidly to tell the story.
Yep.
Oh, Futurama loves Star Trek.
It's the whole thing is just a Star Trek ripoff. Or spoof, I guess. Ripoff probably isn't the right word. Okay, here we go. Let's see what... A Star Trek joke. God. You were the one who was so up in arms about saying it.
I know, but it was too funny. I'm sorry. I don't condone what I just said.
Okay.
But it was a bit.
Let's see what Captain Pike has to beep to us. Probably nothing. We're just going to go to the credits, right?
No, Kirk looks normal. You're crazy.
He does now. I think it's a different day of shooting.
No, I think you're imagining eyeliner. Captain? So it's interesting that Kirk got the Enterprise from Pike, but Kirk never served at the same time as Pike.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting, isn't it? That he
must have just gotten reassigned from another ship. Yeah, but I would think that they would try to avoid that.
That's just how they do things, that they move the... Yeah. And is the Enterprise his first assignment, you think?
It's the first time he's the captain.
Okay.
Captain Pike.
Yeah, his first assignment as captain. They just pulled him out of Iowa and they were like, you're captain now.
Okay, now Spock is having a moment alone with Pike.
You know why I've come, Captain. It's only 6 days away at maximum warp, and I have it well planned.
Pike appears to have no ability to speak up, but then there's the beeps.
The beeps.
Beep. Beep.
Pike is very expressive for a guy with half a face, too.
But this time, I must. I know. I know it is treachery and it's mutiny.
It's pretty funny for this actor. He's playing a different guy. You know, he's pretending to be someone, you know, pretending to be an actor that he's not. And then he doesn't even get to have any lines of dialogue. He just has to beep like this.
Yeah, it's probably not his big break. Yeah,
so he spends two whole episodes basically just sitting in this chair.
With, like, copious amounts of makeup on his face.
Yeah. It's 5-year mission. Well, we can't skip the, credits on Hulu. There's no option.
Weird.
We switched to Hulu, everybody. Netflix took away
Hulu.
Star Trek, and now we're Hulu all the way.
Yeah, we only go where the Star Trek's at.
That's right, which means we are watching the entire theme song. I wonder if we're going to get the, I was interested, maybe Hulu doesn't have the updated graphics.
They probably do. The only time I've seen the non-updated graphics, maybe back when it was on YouTube, back in the day, they did not.
How about the DVDs you have?
That's what I'm trying to remember. I think the DVDs do have updated.
Gotcha. Yeah, this looks updated.
I don't know. It is updated, definitely.
Oh, night on the spooky planet.
Ooh. It's
but
dark
that Saturn
purple now.
Hasn't changed positions in the sky.
He entered same in his log. That's all the proof I require.
And what do those record tapes show? No message sent from here. No message received by your vessel.
Then I suggest the record tapes have been deliberately changed. A computer expert can change record tapes, duplicate voices. Say anything, say nothing.
The fact remains that your first officer's former captain is hospitalized, horribly injured at this base. And that same first officer seems to be the only one who heard that message order.
If he had wanted to see Captain Pike, he could have requested the leave, I would have granted it.
Well, that's true, of course.
When you have just, like, a tiny bit of tummy, you look so bad in the Starfleet uniforms.
I was just thinking his is a little too, like, small on him. It. Like, his is tight, like, either wardrobe department messed up or... Computer center. I don't know, I think the tighter uniform looks a little better, actually, even though he's a little thick around the middle.
I think they just do a good job of giving, like, Shatner that, like, high-waisted, those high-waisted pants, you know?
Yes.
So it's just, like, a big barrel effect, not, like, a chubby effect.
Totally, yeah, you're right. They're effective at that. Let's see, we got a guy, an engineer of some sort, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all sorts of computers around him. Oh, but Spock's sneaking in now that he left. We got a whole lot of camera movement, you know, which I always like to point out because it's kind of rare.
Yeah, that's true.
What, this guy? This guy didn't see Spock walk in?
He's a sneaky boy.
I guess so. Oh, Spock death pinch on this unsuspecting chump.
Neck pinch, not death pinch.
Thank you, I knew I said that wrong.
He didn't kill him.
Nope, he's alive, but his neck has been pinched.
I introduce Miss Piper, Jim.
Okay, so Spock is breaking the rules right now, which I think we all know is a little cray.
That's not exactly in Spock's nature. Here's the eyeliner. This is the same day of shooting.
I see it. I see it now.
Because we're back in this office, and she has soft lighting.
You have something to report, Miss Piper.
Soft lighting.
Oh, yes, sir.
Miss Piper.
I'm afraid our investigation turned out...
Yeah, she is pretty. I'm sorry I called her average by Star Trek standards. She's gorgeous.
Well, it's because of her wig kind of makes her look bizarre.
It's like asymmetrical, and yeah, it's a little whack.
Well, it's cool hair, but it's the fact that it's clearly not real hair, it makes it look like a goofy hat, you know, like... Which is how a lot of the wigs look in the show.
Okay, so something Kirk just said is that it's impossible for a Vulcan to disobey. So, like, it's a little tricky, though, because, like, he has, like, two people that he considers, like, his commanding officer, you know?
Hmm. And I don't think that's even really accurate.
That's it, Jim.
It's not, no. Who devil can do? Because Vulcans can't lie, but they... I don't see why he couldn't act of his own will. I think it's more just, like, saying that they're, like, so tied to, like, logic and, like, kind of bureaucracy.
Exactly. It's more of a thing of, like, they won't lie and they won't
disobey. They just have so much respect
disobey.
For, like, the, like, system and, like, the chain of command, you know?
Yeah, because where they come from, everybody is logical, so everything functions in a logical way all the way up. So to obey the chain
of
command makes sense
humans.
Because everybody above you is logical. Yeah, and so it's, like, then you start...
It's
putting unlogical people in the chain, you start complicating the Vulcans' logic towards the situation, you know?
That's a good point.
It's interesting.
What message should be sent?
I love the suspenseful.
Starbase operations. Starbase operations. Enterprise. Stand by to receive new
Spock
orders.
Spock is messing
Enterprise.
With something.
Mm-hmm. He's manipulating the system.
Now we're on the bridge. But
and
the
I think we see
empty.
Him doing something similar again in a mock time, where, like, he's like, I have to do this thing. Whereas, like, it's just that, like, if he would just, like, be honest with Kirk, I feel like most of the time he'd, like, give him anything he wants, you know?
Yeah, it's weird for him to be so secretive like this.
Yes, it's very, like, against his character in an interesting way.
There's a reason for him to be secret.
Wow, Uhura is so gorgeous.
Right?
Like I said, like Alex said, it's a show about hot people.
Sir, this is a security
totally.
Area. What are you doing here?
I have security clearance, Chief.
Who gave you clearance? I haven't been notified. You're cross-circuiting.
I was going to say, you think Enterprise is kind of a goofy name for a starship?
No, I think it's cool. Are you kidding?
I think it's cool, too, but I just think it's interesting. Every other ship in the show is usually named something in, like, Greek mythology or, like, some type of mythology or human history of some sort, and Enterprise is kind of a standout name at some level.
But that's, like, it's the, like, thing is they just have to, like, it's the starship, so they have to really accomplish, like, what the starship is, and, like, the point of it is to, like, be, like, on an Enterprise, you know, an enterprising mission, you know?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's cool. It works.
It's like a narrative device, you know, to, like, tell us
right.
what the point of a starship is. Whereas, like, the other ones are like, okay, you know the point, so we can give it, like, a fun name.
Right, but you think they'd go for something a little more direct, like Voyager, you know, is a very just clear name. Like,
mm-hmm.
Whereas Enterprise is just, it's very geeky in the way that it's expressing that narrative thing that you're saying. Like, it's a geeky choice, which it works well because it's a geeky show, but it's just funny.
Okay. I don't know if I agree, but okay.
Hmm. All right. All right, let's see. Spock's fighting some punk.
Okay, to the...
Repeat, Enterprise to Starbase. Order...
Okay, this guy needs to call for help. Like, just fighting Spock is not a good choice.
What's funny, though, neither of them was prioritizing the fight. They were both prioritizing the machine. So, like...
Yeah, that was so
as
weird.
As soon as they pushed the other guy off the machine, they just stopped fighting.
Miss Uhura.
Hansen here, Captain.
Our destination has been scramble-fed into ship's computers.
Although, here's something they kind of nailed. Look how similar those things look to floppy disks.
I know, right?
Mr. Spock is with me here.
Which, of course, would be completely, you know, not relevant by the time that, you know, we're 100 years in the future, but... But for the time of the show, a floppy disk is a very futuristic idea.
Mr. Hansen, course will be computed and set automatically.
You will not discuss this with ship's crew or Starbase personnel. Do you read?
Acknowledged, sir.
Stand by. We'll warp out of orbit in 1 hour.
Spock is doing all
Spock
sorts of shady
in the
stuff.
System.
Kirk is staring at Pike on his monitor.
Yikes.
Pike is staring at the wall, which I'm guessing is what
he does
for the huge majority
that's
of his day. That was
vibe.
What he was doing when we came in earlier. He was at least looking out the window, wasn't he?
He keeps saying, no, no, no.
Beep, beep.
blast medicine anyway? We've learned to tie into every human organ in the body except one. The brain. The brain is what life is all about. Now, that man can think any thought that we can. Love, hope, dream as much as we can. But he can't reach out, and no one can reach in.
I think it's more just like a matter of communication.
No to what?
Yeah, if only... Because,
like, he's got kind of like a Stephen Hawking kind of situation. That's
exactly
you know?
Like, what I was about to say.
He just had, like, a more
Stephen
sophisticated
Hawking,
way to communicate.
Yes,
yeah.
Could communicate quite effectively, and he's from 200 years in the past. So, that's a little troubled. Stephen Hawking is also in an episode of TNG.
Oh, that's crazy.
I think he's one of the only people in the show to ever appear as himself.
Oh, okay, that does sound familiar.
He's in the holodeck.
I think I just assumed it was like an actor playing him, actually.
No, it's really him. He was a huge fan of the show, go figure.
Crazy.
Right?
That someone be Mr. Spock. Jim, forgetting how well we both know Spock. The simple fact that...
I love that, like, Kirk is the one who's, like, suspicious of him, and Bones is like, there's no way.
Right? Completely submerged. Not our Spock.
To be caught acting like us or even thinking like us would completely embarrass
Someone's interfering with my command and my ship. I don't know who it is, but I mean to find out. Even you. If I thought you had the technical know-how, I'd suspect you, but you don't. Spock does.
He would not. Okay, I like any time they get complicated about, like, Spock's character and, like, being, like, a person from, like, two worlds. I think that's very rad. Me,
yes. Totally. I like that Bones is funny because he, like, clearly, like, at some level, like, detests Spock for his Vulcan-ness and his differentness.
Of course.
But simultaneously, like, respects him as almost, like, has, like, a fixation on how he's being, like, no, he's always this way. He is this Vulcan, you know, like, I don't know, it's just interesting. He, like, respects his differences while also, like, bashing him for it all the time. He just has such a crush on him, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, they're a cute little space thruple.
We're eyes of Starfleet Command only.
Oh, I'm certifying I ordered you to read it. Know anything at all about this planet?
Whatever ship captain knows.
Now, the pretty girl is just watching Pike on a monitor, and he's just sitting there staring at the wall like he fucking always does.
The fact that we have a camera on Pike all day, even though this is all he does.
It's so weird. It's like, put on a TV or something. Like, clearly he's miserable.
Let's feed him some yogurt or something.
Okay, Kirk is looking at a top secret document about Talos IV.
No one will visit Talos IV.
Commanded by Captain Christopher Pike.
That's the only thing I caught.
Vulcan science officer named Spock.
Commodore! Captain Pike, he's gone!
Linda's here, what is it?
Starship Enterprise.
Wow, and we're literally just watching him all the time, so how did he disappear? Everyone is just staring at a monitor.
We lost Pike?
Yeah, we lost Pike, that's what I'm saying. All they do is watch him, and then... She was literally staring at the monitor, and then she goes, he's gone, and he was not on the monitor. Like, what is happening?
What on earth? Like, it's goofy for us to be watching him in the first place, and then
to
lose track
of
him is just embarrassing.
Because he was a flight risk, I guess.
Yeah, who knew?
Maintain radio silence, Lieutenant. This is first officer.
Spock is on the bridge. He's taking the chair.
Uh-huh.
I think he's about to zip out of here on the Enterprise without permission.
Oh, you think?
Our destination is secret. Our mission is relatively simple.
Uh-oh, but Bones just walked in.
Bones is supposed to be there. His instructions are... Spock
wants
him.
Bones knows what's going on. He knows that Kirk wasn't assigned to sick leave, as Spock just said.
Oh, okay. Jim needed a medical rest leave. There we go.
All about me being needed aboard the ship. I've checked everywhere.
And no one from the ship made such a call.
That's right.
Doctor, I regret they elected to keep
Spock should have come up with a better excuse, at the very least. We all know that Kirk never gets sick.
He doesn't really care.
Hmm. That doesn't seem logical, to not come up with a good excuse.
I think he knows that he can't trick Bones. And I think he knows that he needs Bones' help.
What is this, Spock?
Hmm.
And he's always counting on Bones' commitment to the Hippocratic Oath... over the Prime Directive.
Just like how they're counting on him to act like a Vulcan all the time. Kirk to Dr. McCoy. And now he's not.
I'm recording you this message, Bone, so there'll be no misunderstanding.
Oh, just kidding. He is lying to him.
You are not to disturb Captain Pike with any questions. Simply take good care of him. Follow Spock's instructions to the letter. Kirk out.
Man, Spock this made a whole worrying. Fake recording of Kirk.
Wow, Spock is way too powerful.
Yeah, hard to believe that he would, you know, lie this much.
Thank God he's a good guy.
Right? Because he's spinning out of control. It's like every eighth episode of TNG when Data turns evil.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, we can't have this guy be a bad guy.
It's like, he's the one who does literally everything.
Exactly.
Our speed never like, have you seen how fast that guy can type? How will we defeat him?
We'll make no contact.
Here we go, off into space. Oh, what's this little guy? Shuttlecraft?
Yeah, what do you think? Who's on there?
What's the name of it? What does it say there? The Picasso?
It says Starbase 2. Oh.
No, in the red. I think it said Picasso.
Oh, cute.
Enterprise, Commodore Mendez and Captain Kirk. If you read me, you are ordered to reply.
Repeating it on all emergency frequencies. I like the diversity with him being named Commodore Mendez, but I...
But still being definitely a white guy. I was thinking that.
I was going to say. Close, though. You know, within a range of being diverse. Certainly the writers had the idea of
they're
being
moving
diverse.
In a direction.
Right? Conceptually, but not in execution.
Enterprise, come in.
It's a dinky little shuttlecraft. Weren't we just on, like, a Starfleet base? You're telling me they had no other ships they could send
along? That's a good point. I mean, maybe all the other ships were occupied. And maybe it just makes more sense if you're only sending two people to put them on a shuttlecraft.
I can't imagine the shuttlecraft can really keep up with the Enterprise.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Although, I don't know, the shuttlecrafts can go to warp, so I guess I'm wrong. Shuttlecraft is
already past point of they can? Return.
Oh, no, wait, she just said shuttlecraft is already past point of safe return, so might be wrong.
Okay, well, that's a bad choice on their part.
Yeah. Well, they know it's a 6-day journey, don't they? Like,
I don't know if they know where he's going. Oh, Talos 4, of course.
Yeah.
I'm, like, struggling to follow. It's a very simple plot, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling to, like, remember, like, who knows what and figure it out.
Right? What are these things that they were just looking into?
I don't know. They're fun, though.
Right? We've got, because we've got a window up above the two of them that looks out into space. I'm guessing it's, like, not actually a window and it's another viewing screen. It's a monitor feeding from a camera on the other side.
I think it's probably just a window.
Maybe. They
just
do
give
that,
them some
too,
ambience.
So it's hard to say. But then they're both staring into these circular... Kirk and Mendez are staring into these, like... They almost look like a car headlight. I don't know. Like,
oh, my God.
Like little
that's,
spherical
yeah.
things with, like, a car
headlight
on them.
Like a little globe with a headlight inside of it or something.
Yeah, and they're just staring into them. And then Mendez just folded his back against the wall, which is handy. But I have no idea what they are, what they're meant to represent. But they're sci-fi
yeah, no
looking.
Clue.
They're fun.
And then they have a map that just kind of looks like a submarine sonar map.
No right to come along. Yeah, that's a little more standard variety.
Rank hath its privileges.
Rank hath its privileges.
2 hours of oxygen left.
Wonderful. Oh my God, these guys didn't prep. What are they doing? Back for us.
We step on that deck, Spock is finished. Court-martial.
What?
Disgraced. He's dead.
Oh, he's like, four. I'd rather die than have my boyfriend go to jail.
That's pretty cute.
Why would he want to get Pike there?
They're so in love.
The command report stated Talos contained absolutely
and he's
no
anticipating that Spock's love for him will cause Spock to save him if he puts himself out
exactly.
here in danger.
Exactly. He's like, he has so much faith. He's just like, I don't even care.
It's a
I
hell
know
of a
everything's
going
to be okay.
And it's very...
This is so romantic.
Classic Kirk, too, for that matter.
Uh-huh.
It's the
Absolutely.
Kirk that we love, you know, where he makes a decision that only Kirk would make.
Yeah, and everything turns out fine.
Oh, look at Bones power posturing here.
Yeah, Bones is looking kind of sexy.
He's leaning back on the railing with both of his arms spread out wide.
Like, Bones could get it. I say it occasionally, but every time it's true, I say it.
This is the captain, Mr. Spock.
Uh-oh, the boys are fighting.
Brought herself to a dead stop.
This is the first officer speaking. Security, send an armed team to the bridge. Transporter room, stand by to beam Captain Kirk aboard. Effective until then, Lieutenant Hansen is in operational command.
Sir?
Lieutenant Hansen?
Yeah, he had the same reaction. He was like, excuse me?
He's like, but sir, I've never even had dialogue until just now.
It is mutiny, Doctor. I never received orders to take command.
Okay, yeah, this episode is so good.
Right, Spock confesses to his mutiny. Yeah, it's a pretty great Spockisode, I guess.
Well, and that's all the best episodes.
Maybe I didn't give it enough credit coming in.
Under arrest. Is confinement quarters enough?
Adequate, Doctor. I'll make no trouble.
Well, confined.
And, like, it's totally, like, the Data thing. Yeah, where it's just like, well, if he wants to be, I don't know, I guess make him stay in his room. But, like, we can't make him stay if he doesn't want to, you know?
Yeah,
like Spock
just,
is smarter and stronger than every person on the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, Bones was stressed on multiple levels there. He was stressed about having to deal with this, and he clearly felt, like, personally betrayed by Spock.
Yeah, of course. How could he not?
He's just so funny because he always kind of puts on this, like, tough exterior of, like, I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care about Spock. And then as soon as Spock, like, hurts his feelings, he's like, oh.
The engines are coming on.
Reverse power. Hold this position. Tell whoever gave those orders to report.
Sir, there's nobody up there giving orders. Mr. Spock has the computers running the ship.
Disengage computer.
It's a young Alfred Hitchcock operating the transporter over there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, along with Scotty.
Computer control, come in.
Computer.
That's his cameo, right? He makes a cameo in every movie.
Oh my gosh. Captain,
on voice command, you will override all contrary.
Now we're in Spock's room, and he has a very interesting piece of art behind him.
Yeah, it looks like a blown glass, but not done well.
Yeah. Looks like a red torso with two black boobs and no head. Spock's camera is the same as the camera operator in the...
Yeah, why does everybody have, like, cameras where they can just, like, watch each other? That's not normal.
And they're specifically, like, they always have the exact same perspective as, like, the way
as,
the scene
yeah,
was
the
shot.
Cameraman.
It's always just so funny. It's such a classic movie, like, faux pas. I don't know if there's a word
so
for that specific issue, but there should be a phrase for doing that, because it happens so often in so many things.
And in all the years of my service, this is the most painful moment I've ever faced.
Oh.
This hearing is convened.
Ugh.
And he's watched a lot of his friends die. I mean, he killed Gary. That wasn't even that long ago.
He doesn't give a fuck about anybody but Spock.
It's true. The truth comes out.
Rights to this hearing and request immediate court-martial.
Request denied.
May I inquire on what grounds, Captain?
On the grounds that I love you.
Mutiny requires a trial board of no less than 3 command officers.
And it becomes a musical.
There are only 2 of that rank available.
Sir, I must point out that there are 3 officers of command rank available. Yourself, Commodore Mendez, and Captain Christopher Pike.
Denied. Captain Pike is a complete invalid.
I believe you'll find he's still on the active duty list. We didn't have the heart to retire.
Then he can also say yes and no. We've established that.
We don't have the heart to retire him. Like, somebody could have made a clerical error and assigned Captain Pike to captain another ship.
Oh my god.
He's just beeping.
And they're like, we're
space.
All slaves to bureaucracy, so we have to.
They're like, we have to do it now. He's just only beeping. That's the Pike spinoff that everybody wants, is after he's in the chair and he only beeps.
I think this is the first time we're seeing dress uniforms, and they have like a couple variations, but right now it's like a very fancy one with like a little gold strip that goes around the collar and down the front. It's very cute. What is
it accomplished? Yeah, and their badges are really ridiculous. They're like, it looks like about a dozen triangles of different colors all pointing different directions.
It looks like, it definitely looks like Girl Scout badges to me.
Oh my god, totally. Absolutely.
Request monitor screen be engaged. For what purpose?
Okay. Spock's looking good with his little golden collar.
Uh-oh, Spock wants to watch a movie. Spock is calling for a movie night.
He's like, I think that there was a unaired pilot that I feel like watching.
We spent quite a lot of money on this, so I think you should all tune in. Scotty's the projector operator. I love it.
Look at Bones in his fancy uniform. Everyone looks so handsome.
As chief engineer, he's the only one who knows how to use any piece of technology, including a video player.
I want to know who filmed this, like, shot that's, like, flying around the Enterprise. Like,
right.
This
through
makes
space
no sense.
Into the dome of the bridge and down into the bridge, like...
Oh my gosh. And they're like, wait a minute, is that Nurse Chapel?
Yeah, right, oh my god, you're right.
Definitely. Kirk's like, oh my god, that man might be more handsome than me, and now he's super insecure.
Kirk's like, Spock, I can't believe you used to wear a goofy-ass shirt like that.
Was that really you on the screen? That's impossible.
Beep.
He says, no, that was a different actor, was what that beep meant. But I guess Kirk took it to mean that, yes, it was.
Lost in translation.
Captain Pike, were any record tapes of this nature made during your voyage?
I'm really fixated on the different configurations of all their different triangle badges on their shirts.
Asks a prisoner, it's fun.
They're all different.
Made with so much love.
You mean I was maneuvered into asking? Your evidence is out of order.
I am forced to contest that, Commodore. I want to see more.
You have that right, Captain. But just because the prisoner is your first officer and your personal friend...
That has nothing to do with it.
Very well. Continue.
Screen on, Mr. Scott.
No, it's something else. There's still something out there.
As I stated, gentlemen... This was 13 years ago. We were on.
Now we're looking past our characters' heads as they look past the heads of the characters in the original episode.
Yeah, this is goofy.
If we haven't explained this clearly, we are now watching The Cage, the original unaired pilot, on a projector screen within the episode. So the characters of the current show are watching the show that never was from the original version that they didn't go with.
Exactly. And that's why we're saying it's like such a good choice from a production standpoint, because like they have this whole pilot that they filmed, but like,
yeah, they had already produced
it. So they like reworked it and made it part of the episode in a really clever way.
Yeah. And most of it shows up in part two, I feel like, but they do. I mean, they're watching it now. Now we're on the alternate bridge. And we got this good-looking guy who never got to have a career. He got robbed. All these actors, you know, thought that this was their big break.
Except for Madril Barrett.
Right. Although maybe they didn't. Unproduced pilots, I guess, probably weren't that uncommon at the time.
Definitely not. I think they're still pretty common.
Yeah, probably more than ever now. Now more than ever. Mm-hmm. That's what we say ever since the pandemic, right? The guy operating the control panel has a hunchback.
Yeah, I think we commented on his, like, horrible posture.
Yes, yeah, we watched all this fairly recently. Spock has his bangs entirely different, too.
Yeah, they're like micro bangs, like turf bangs.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and they're, like,
oh
a little
God.
More shaggy. Solar system similar to Earth, 11 planets.
Number four seems to be...
That's right, and Spock acts fairly bizarrely, I remember, in this
episode. I was going to say, he's playing it kind of unpleasantly.
Yeah, they hadn't quite pinned down what his whole thing was.
Like, a little aggressive.
Yeah, he's very, like, shouty.
Not without any indication of survivors, yeah. No. Continue on to the Vega colony and take care of our...
Commander Pike's eyes are definitely prettier than Shatner's eyes. I'm sorry, I had to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that guy's ugly. That's like Megamind over there with that big forehead. Also, there's a guy in blue who looks like he's like 14, and he's just like standing in front of the elevator and doing nothing. He's useless.
Yeah, I'm so glad they redid this, because they got so many things better in the second try. The uniforms is the one I keep fixating on. The uniforms in this
original pilot are like... They're like corduroy.
Like baggy corduroy sweaters. They're not that different, but they just like really tighten it up in the new version.
Yeah, and like Captain Pike is not happy about being in space. Like, he's like miserable. And like, whereas like Kirk is like all about the spirit of adventure, which is much more interesting. The old man doctor is not nearly as good. Like, there's...
That's right,
like,
I forgot. That's right. I always forget this character even exists when I'm not watching this episode.
How could you? Yeah, he's so forgettable. They're all
non-bones.
So forgettable.
I'd like to log the ship's doctor's opinion too.
Oh, I can
see. And he's got a big clipboard. He doesn't even have like an iPad to write on.
Because we're going to stop first at the Vega colony.
Yeah, they really rethought a lot of this in a way that is great. Because, like, if they had to commit to a lot of these choices, like this doctor is... Yeah, he didn't have another 70 episodes in him. He's no bones.
Definitely not.
Although I like his uniform.
Bartender things he'll never tell his doctor.
Yeah, I like when they do kind of like the jumpsuit-y thing.
Yeah, I think that always looks good.
What's been on your mind, Chris? The fight on Rigel 7?
He's also got the planet Earth on his, like, lapel. Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Federation. It's like an Earth thing.
Right. They had made the decision that their doctor was going to be a drinker, though.
By one of their warriors.
Chris, you set standards for yourself no one could meet.
Also, this old doctor character. What is his name? Do we know?
No. And I don't think I care.
All right. Anyway, he has a terrible hairline, is all I was going to say. Which I know we're always remarking on people, but like... I gotta be clear that the bad hairlines are always being escalated on the show. Like, just when you think you've seen the worst hairline ever, you get this guy who has like...
They're always one-upping each other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a crazy... I think you call it a comb over when there's no hair growing on top of his head, but he's taking the hair from the side of his head and put it over the top of his head.
I think he's like... You know what? I have to disagree with you. I think it's a very impressive comb over.
Okay,
like,
yeah, I can get behind that. I guess.
Usually it, like, barely covers it, but it, like, looks like a toupee.
I'm going to assume it's some sort of cool future style, you know, that, like...
I'm impressed by it.
It's certainly a type of hair I've never seen in current...
Like, talk about, like, working with what you've got, you know, like, making the best of it. Like, he's killing it.
Yeah, look, he takes that one...
Because he's doing, like, a deep part, yeah.
Yeah, he has, like, one strip of hair that grows kind of along the side of his head, and he's managed to cover almost his entire bald head with it. Like...
It's a vibe. I'm impressed.
Right? This is what you guys listen to the Star Trek podcast for, right? Is to listen to our, like, 3 minutes of us analyzing a guy's hair.
Yeah, anyways, like, Pike is just, like, being such a little bitch here. Oh, but he's so cute. He's definitely cuter than Shatner.
The same two kinds of customers. Living.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. And while the character is a little lacking, the actor is there.
Definitely.
You know, he's there.
Yeah.
He brings it.
But, like, the character's all wrong. Mr. Spock here. We're intercepting a... I want somebody who's stoked about being in space. Mr. Spock here. He's just so shouty. Why? It's like the technology really bad? Like, he just...
He's
seems
like an old
spazzy
person using Zoom, you know? He's like, do you hear me?
Or
like
a telephone.
Hello!
You're so right. Also, look how crabby this communications officer looks. She looks like she hates her job. They need a hurrah.
I know. I kind of fell in love with that crabby face, so I want her back.
Oh, you would.
Right? I'm like, she looks like she'd be mean to me.
You're like, I love a bitchy girl. And like, same.
Factor 7.
Oh, and now we're back to modern day. We're...
Time Warp Factor 7. That's an interesting way to say it. It's just funny that this is 10 years ago. It just feels so different.
Right? It's also funny that, like, the scene that we just watched, even though we spoke through the whole thing, it was basically just Captain Pike working through, like, personal issues about being on this mission and being in space and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's just funny because it has nothing to do with this court hearing, and also it, like, doesn't make... I mean, I'll say this once because I'm not gonna... I could just say it over and over for the next two episodes, but the fact that there are cameras in there and that it's cut like a TV show and that we're seeing all of it is really absurd in a way that is like, it breaks my extension of disbelief, you know?
Like, okay, but they address that. Like, they, like, before, like, at the beginning when they were watching it, they were like, oh, like, this doesn't make sense. How is this possible that this is recorded? And, like, Kirk was like, did you record it, Pike? And Pike was like, no. And we're gonna see, like, who has been, like, watching them and, like, keeping these records. Like, that's, like, a thing that will be, like, explained.
Gotcha. And I think that's what Mendez is about to say right now, is I'm really impressed that you cut all this together. Let's see. Because he says, I'm truly amazed at your technical prowess.
Manufacturing all this. I congratulate you on your imagination. But yeah, this is a court of space law, not a theater.
He's right. Also, can we just talk about the term a court of space law? Like, space law. I'm obsessed with that.
Right.
I want to be a space lawyer. I only practice in space.
I like that Spock is being put in the spot of being treated like, you know, he's inherited this TV pilot, essentially, and is having to present his court evidence, and they're being like, why'd you make it like this? And he's like, you know, it's like, it's just the dissonance between, obviously, like, the character. I mean, I guess in the context, he did make it, but it's just funny to imagine, you know, that he made it when it was made by TV producers.
Totally.
Anyway, it's all very silly. Here we go.
Please tell the court, this is not imagination, nor some clever photographic record. Are we seeing the actual events of 13 years ago? Yes, gentlemen. On that screen, as it happened, the incredible...
And Pike is like, and then as soon as the doctor left the room, I feverishly jerked off, but I'm glad that Spock decided not to include that part.
Spock's like, I have that version, actually, in my room.
He's like, I have the special X-rated version all for me.
Well, for me, this has gone far enough.
We still haven't heard the full story. I vote to continue.
Then I vote we do not. Deadlock. And
not a deadlock. There's still one member of the trial board to be heard.
Kirk is being so chill and so cool under pressure, and I love that we have this Kirk now. I said that a lot, like, last episode, I think, but I just, like, that's the Kirk that I love.
It's true, yeah, I'm totally with you. The
I just, like, respect the hell out of him.
Controlled version of Kirk is much better than the manic freaking out version of Kirk.
Yes, absolutely.
I was gonna say, do you think Spock had a similar relationship to Pike that he does with Kirk?
No!
As in, like, do you think they were in love?
Never. No.
So you don't think there's Spock any sort of level of, like, jealousy here for Kirk watching Spock have this secret with his old captain,
oh,
you know, that he won't tell Kirk?
Definitely some jealousy, but it's, like, I think it's because it's, like, you're my first officer. I don't think it's any of the, like, romantic things. Because there's still so much, like, intimacy in the relationship between, like, a captain and a first officer, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
It's, like, that's your person.
Right, they work together all the time, you know? He's the person that tells everything to do everything all day, you know?
Yeah, and, like, anytime I've ever had a job where, like, somebody's in, like, a partner role, like, that's just, like, such a unique relationship, you know?
It's true, like, at work, I have, like, one person that, like, I exchange, like, 90% of my messages with that they, like, you know, give me all my tasks and then I ask them all my questions type of thing. It's like, and they're my butt.
Yeah, and, like, when I've been a teacher and, like, had, like, an assistant teacher, that's just, like, so special, you know? It's like, every time I need something, it's like, they're my person.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I think it's that. But I'm still imagining there is a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah.
And there's still that stupid guy just standing in front of the elevator.
Right? Coming to Talos 4, though.
Yeah, okay, so everybody's, like, suiting up. Which is also, like, practical, but I kind of like that, like, they're, like, in the, like, in most of the episodes, they just, like, beam down as is, you know? They don't get all suited up.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's, like, a special reason to.
Could be parts of a spaceship hull.
I realized, looking at this all-white version of the ship, how much diversity putting just the one black woman of Uhura in the background makes the whole
cast... It makes a big difference.
Makes the entire thing feel diverse, even if it's not. It's like, oh, we got all sorts of different people here, but it's like, when you see it all white, suddenly it feels like kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I think I have to correct something. I think Spock is not the first officer. I think Majel Barrett is the first officer. Yeah.
Spock is the science officer?
I think so.
No indication of problems down there, but let's not take any chances.
Yes, sir. There's a cannon to the left. We can set you down there completely unobserved.
Sending the boys down.
Majel Barrett got demoted to nurse.
Right, yeah, unfortunate.
Okay, is Spock limping? He's walking kind of weird.
He does everything.
Maybe he, like, had his legs crossed. Yeah, that's true. It's like just another weird character choice. Like, Leonard, I admire the choices, but you got it right the second time around.
I'm glad they figured this out too. Of like, the beam down process doesn't take 2 minutes now. They figure that out between the original pilot.
Oh, totally.
And the
pilot. Just
they were like,
there.
We can't spend that much time on this.
Okay, so we're on an alien planet, and there's these, like, weird little blue floating leaf things. Okay, are they supposed to be floating, or are they supposed to be, like, on a stem? Because I can see the stem. I don't know.
Because with the bad graphics of the time, you might not have seen them, but now that we've kind of restored it, they might be more visible. They're wandering around. Seem to be enjoying themselves. They're loving these blue plants.
To be fair, that's, like, the only interesting thing here.
This guy's got a lightsaber on his belt.
Wow.
He's ready for anything. Here we go. Now we found this village of old...
Yeah, the old camp with the old people and the one hot girl.
Men. They're humans.
And they are stoked to see them.
Uh-huh. Hey guys, you're all totally real. United Spaceship.
Is Earth all right?
The same old Earth, and you'll see it very soon.
And you won't believe how fast you can get back. Well, the time barrier's been broken. Our new ships can...
The time barrier, we did it.
Let's do the time warp again. Okay, she is such a, like, castaway chic. She's got, like, a net as, like, a skirt. Vina, how'd you find so much makeup?
Oh, and now we've got a different set of people watching this on a screen. It's these big, giant-headed aliens with big,
these
veiny
big brain boys.
Heads, big brain boys, and they got long capes.
They're yucky.
They are yucky.
They kind of look like the genius scientist in Sky High.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The science teacher.
Yeah, he's played by the same guy who's the priest in that 70s show, and he's Pleakley in Lilo and Stitch.
And, like, Pleakley, I was going to say, yeah.
I was thinking they look
like... These guys
like...
all have that Pleakley vibe.
Right? I don't know if you remember Men in Black 2.
Oh my god, stop talking about Men in Black.
I love Men in Black, I'll never stop. The guy who, well, he looks just like them, so I can't describe him that well, but he kind of floats around, but then he pulls off his cape and there's four smaller versions of him in, like, little spaceships. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I think he's a lot yuckier looking than these guys.
Yeah, you're right, he is a bit yuckier looking. But similar design.
Yeah, these guys are a little yucky, but they're not totally yucky.
Right.
Quarters are being prepared, sir. Have I permission to send out scouting and scientific parties now?
I love this girl just, like, staring at Christopher Pike, because, like, it's so accurate. If I saw those five guys in a landing party, I'd be like, fuck all these guys except for this boy. Oh, except for Spock is there. Damn. Okay. It's a little tricky.
But it's weird Spock. It's Spock when he has a
weird
it's
like aggressive Spock.
Right?
It's like Spock before he ever got laid. He's just, like, too aggressive.
Whole life with a collection of aging scientists.
If they can spare you.
Yeah, the next 10 years are going to be really kind to Spock.
Show the captain our secret.
Their health is excellent. Almost too good.
There's a reason for our condition. But we've had some doubt if Earth is ready to learn the secret. Let the girl show you.
You think this is the guy she has been having a relationship with?
Ew!
This old dude.
Yeah.
He's the best looking old dude here of all the creepy old guys around.
Oh my gosh, you could be right.
Why do they have this young woman with them? Oh, that's right, they don't even exist.
Yeah, they're not real. You'll feel much
better soon. You think the aliens would come up with a more logical, like, fantasy.
But the point is that it is a fantasy, you know? It's like, oh, this beautiful woman who's, like, never, like, been with anybody else, you know? Like,
because I think all that's, the like, other men here are so sexy. Old and infertile. Okay, sure.
Yeah, I think it, like, it's like a thing. I get it.
Oh,
uh-oh, she just vanished. Disappeared. And they all disappeared. All the old guys. And a door opened.
And the big heads are coming.
The big brains.
Oh,
uh-oh,
and he used a wand. He
something.
Cast a Harry Potter type spell on Pike.
Oh, yeah, they've also got kind of Professor Quirrell vibes. Just like any bald guy with a big head.
Oh, yeah, totally. Professor Quirrell, I see it. If he didn't have his turban on.
Exactly.
And they've taken Pike away into a cave.
To a secret elevator. Yeah, that guy has the worst posture.
I'll say, the menagerie, much better title than the cage.
Agreed.
This guy's taking cover behind a tumbleweed, like the cave door is going to shoot back at him. And like that tumbleweed would protect him.
I mean, there's
him.
Like things exploding. Oh, that's fair. That would not be sufficient.
Bad posture, guys, is blasting his laser.
Gosh, I just like can't look at him. His like shoulders are like above his ears, I swear.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm having a neck cramp just by seeing him.
Spock's eyebrows are so hairy. They're like little caterpillars.
Right.
He also kind of looks like, oh my god, Spock right now looks like that one James Bond movie where he went undercover as a Japanese man. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's Connery, right?
I'm not sure. I think so.
I haven't seen those early ones in a minute.
What is it? Okay, you'll have to look it up because that's exactly what Spock looks like.
Go ahead. Okay, I definitely believe you.
Subspace monitors show Enterprise receiving transmissions from planet Talus 4 in violation of Starfleet general orders.
Receiving transmissions from Talus 4. And the images we've been seeing are
coming from Talus 4, sir.
Captain Kirk is hereby relieved. You are ordered to assume command of the Enterprise. Disable vessel if necessary to prevent further contact. Message sign, Comsol Starfleet Command.
Mr. Spock, you're aware of the orders regarding any contact with Talus 4. You have deliberately invited the death penalty. You've not only finished yourself, Spock.
What the f- What? They have
they
the
have
death
penalty?
Penalty? That's
something
insane.
Like that?
Oh my god.
And like,
I'm sorry, he's responsible for somebody committing mutiny?
Well, and like, how do the laws work in this? I mean,
it's space law. Space law, baby.
Space law. How could I forget? Space law.
Okay, so Kirk is being super chill about the fact that Spock just invited the death penalty for both of them? Or just, I don't know. Somebody's getting the death penalty, and that's insane to me.
I know, he can't just be sentenced to psychiatric treatment like Mud.
Oh my god.
And Scotty's been here the whole episode, but he hasn't spoken at all.
Yeah, but I'm glad he's there. I feel better knowing that he's there.
Yeah, it's always good having him around. He ran the transporter earlier. He ran the projector.
Do you know what you're doing? Have you lost your mind?
Captain, Jim, please. Don't stop me.
Oh, he called
don't
him Jim.
Don't let him stop me. It's your career and Captain Pike's life. You must see the rest of the transmission.
We paid so much for it. Network money, Jim. Don't lock you understand?
Him lock him up. Then this big jock guy thinks he can lock up Spock if he doesn't want to be locked up. Okay. Look at these two big chin boys.
And Kirk is left
and
here
now
alone.
Now Kirk is just alone.
Viewing room. And he is bummed. To be concluded next week.
Yeah, and this is the only time they did this.
A podcast listener. This is the only two-part episode of the whole thing?
I believe so.
Hmm.
Kirk is looking worried.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely needs to be, like, seen as, like, a whole episode. You know, so I think we're going to struggle a little bit with talking about, like, warp speed rating and that kind of thing.
Yeah, to only really watch the first half doesn't feel totally proper.
Yeah, because, like, I think for, like, some of the, like, when, like, for TNG, when they did two-part episodes, it was with the intention that, like, one of them would be at the end of a season and the other one would be at the beginning. So it was, like, very, like, they were very complete on their own, where, like, this one is all, like, a whole lot of setup.
Deep Space Nine does a two-part episode every, like, fifth episode, so.
Oh, interesting.
Apparently the series ends with a 10-part episode. It's like, whoa, jeez. So.
All right, bring it on.
Like, right? I'm looking forward to that. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, we basically just watched half an episode.
Yeah, that's true. So let's keep that in mind, I guess. Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the time with the discussion, we're trying to say, like, okay, like, what were they saying with this episode, you know? Where I feel like we haven't, like, seen a lot of what they're saying, but, like, they're, like, setting up a lot of interesting things, like, a lot of, like, interesting, like, character stuff with Spock. And, like, interesting relationship stuff with, like, Spock and Kirk and Spock and Bones.
There's good drama in the episode. Yeah, between Spock disobeying and the dynamic with him and Kirk and the dynamic with, you know, with all of them, with Bones and with even with Mendez and, you know. Mendez also, I like him as a character. He's good at being just, like, representing Starfleet and being kind of impartial and, like.
Yeah, which they don't always do a good job of. Sometimes they'll, like. Representatives of Starfleet are, like, insane.
Yeah, well, and it definitely in TNG and DS9 is, like, a total thing that every admiral basically is evil.
Yeah. Well, and also I'm seeing some, like, similarities with this episode and, like, the episode of TNG where, like, Data is on trial to decide, like, if he's human or not, basically.
And, like, Measure of a Man.
Yeah, and so I feel like that was, like, one of the first episodes of TNG where I was like, oh my god, this show is amazing. And I feel like a little bit same with the same thing here. And, like, I like that another similarity between those is that, like, in both cases, the captain is just kind of, like, putting all of their faith into, like, Spock or Data. And, like, in this one, it, like, doesn't totally make sense for Kirk to put that much faith in Spock. We can tell that he, like, really wants to, you know, and that's interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, Spock has never led him astray before, like.
Yeah, like, he wants to trust him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Spock's telling him you just don't have all the information yet, so. And same as us, we've watched. Yeah, it definitely feels like just a partial episode. It's hard to really make too many judgments on it. It's like,
yeah.
But I will say, it's definitely better than I remember, specifically even just this first half.
Okay, good.
Like, I remember when I first watched this episode feeling like this first half was really just building to the second half, you know, which.
And it definitely is. Which it is. It's not more untrue. Than that.
But it's like there's stuff happening along the way that is dramatic and that is interesting.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it's not particularly, like, you know, action-packed or space battle-y or anything. But that doesn't mean it's not interesting or dramatic.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with all of that.
All right, so shall we take it to warp speed?
Yeah, let's do it.
Warp drive, Mr. Scott.
This is the warp speed rating section that we always forget to explain what we're doing here. We just start doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But what we are doing is we are rating this episode on a scale from impulse speed, quarter impulse at the lowest, or I guess it could even be stationary if it was really bad. I don't know if we would ever give an episode that bad of a rating. But it's going from quarter impulse speed all the way to warp 10 is our scale. And we're deciding where this episode falls on that scale.
Yeah, what do you think?
Again, it's hard to rate a half episode like this.
Yeah, but, like, for what it is.
Yeah, for what, all right, for what it is, I'll give it a 6, you know? Like, because while it's fun and there's good drama and stuff, there's also, like, not a ton happening. Like, I don't walk away with like, a really memorable scene from this episode, you know? I'm not like, oh, this was the one where this happened. And, like, you know, probably watching Spock kind of sabotage everything and disobey and essentially steal the Enterprise is probably the most exciting part. And of course, Pike in the chair is like kind of unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, yeah, being like an actual entertaining episode, you know, there's not that much going on. But it's good storytelling. It's good drama.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm captivated. I'm interested the whole time. So, and okay. nothing really dumb happens, which is always, you know, like the big sinker of any episode. Like, you know, yeah, there's plenty of dumb stuff that go around in this show or really any TV or movie thing. And so it's like even just to get through it without anything really ridiculous happening is goes a long way, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a big plus. Okay, I thought that we were going to have the same rating for the first time because I was going to say Warp 7 for me. Because I am so much more captivated by character things than, like, quote-unquote, like, things happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, like, why I like this show so much is that, like, you know, I feel like some people feel like, you know, the action and excitement aspect doesn't age well. And that might be true, but that's, like, not the thing that's the most interesting to me, you know? I just, like, care so much about, like, the, like, friends in space. So whenever it's, like, kind of conflict, like, interpersonally, like, that's what, like, really does it for me. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, just for what it is, it, like, accomplishes everything really, really well. Everybody is, like, everybody's character has, like, integrity. Yeah, it's just, like, so solid and really, I really like it a lot.
And see, I like when, I like best, I think it's the most satisfying when the character stuff like that, when the character mm-hmm. drama builds into action that feels motivated by character drama. A good example mm-hmm. being in, I think this might be A Mock Time. I think I finally figured out which episode of Mock Time is. Is that the one where Spock has to go back to Vulcan and he fights Kirk?
Yeah.
Okay, so I do know A Mock Time in that case. I have seen that episode.
Uh-huh.
And that's a perfect example of, like, this drama has escalated and escalated. This personal drama for Spock has escalated up until, you know, and for Kirk, you know, trying to help Spock with this has escalated to a point where now they have to physically fight and the drama yeah. of that. So it's like we have now an action scene that's charged with all these character things.
Yeah.
And the Corbomite maneuver being another good one where it's like we're having a space battle, but we're also getting a lot of, like, Kirk character and how Kirk handles this type of situation. And that's what makes it so yeah. interesting, as well as the dynamic, you know, the contrast between how him and Spock handle it. And so I think that's really when it's at its best.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's like we get a lot of that character stuff in that setup, but we don't get the follow through of, like, stuff happening, as I said before.
Yeah. No, you're so right.
The Star Trek equivalent of an action scene, essentially.
That's a very good point.
So yeah, that was what I felt it was lacking, I think.
Oh, and I was going to say, the only parts that felt boring to me were the flashbacks to the cage. And I think that's only because I watched it so recently. Otherwise, I would have been much more interested in that.
Yeah, that doesn't help either. Well, and also, like, I mean, the scene with Pike and the doctor in Pike's room is essentially pointless. Like,
it's not. It's, like, important character stuff for the original pilot.
It's important character stuff to the cage.
Not to the menagerie.
To the menagerie, though, I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. Like,
yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think we're going to arrive at any sort of resolution for Pike that makes that part feel satisfying.
Maybe they'll have allusions to
it. It's also being played as it's like a bit of character intro for Pike as well as a bit of character intro for this doctor who will never come into play again. So it's like,
oh, absolutely. So it's like, so, and
it was kind of a long scene. It was like a 5-minute scene or something.
Which is why we talked through the whole thing.
Yes, exactly. We talked about his hairline the whole time.
Which was probably the most interesting thing that was happening.
Totally.
And also we just saw that, like, apparently it's the job of all ship's doctors just, like, bring alcohol to their captains. That's just, like,
yeah,
the
best medicine, you know, in the future is still liquor.
And also that all doctors are old men.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier about how medical school takes 40 years in the future. But this is before they have Synthahol.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Synthahol, interested?
Would
you like
purpose.
Synthahol?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're anti-Synthahol.
Big, big anti.
And on top of it, a lot of them seem to not think that it's inferior. Like, characters are constantly pointing out that it's inferior to the original.
Like, the point of alcohol is to poison yourself and have fun. Like, That's just the way it is.
Well, and so much of their lives are already like kind of fake and illusions and like, you know, crafted by,
yeah, does everything have to be synthetic?
Yeah, so it's like,
have a real experience.
We can't even actually drink. I mean, you'd like to think that these officers can handle their liquor, you know, that they'd learn or whatever.
Yeah,
in fact, you could even have like some sort of thing that like, you know, a charger that like, you know, or some sort of thing you scan that's just like, you've had too much. Like,
oh, that'd be so easy.
Like, there could be some sort of limiter of being like, all right, anyone in this bar who is like above like a safe amount of like, you know, they're risking alcohol poisoning or like they have to operate something in the morning. Although I'd like to think at this point in the future, maybe we have some sort of a hangover cure, essentially.
Yeah, that's what we really need. Just like something that like gets rid of all the bad effects of alcohol. That's the real issue with drinking, right?
I mean, not the worst, but like. That's my issue with drinking, because I don't drink enough to do anything really crazy, but I do drink enough occasionally to wake up feeling awful.
You know, the real cure
my greatest
to
regret of
to
drinking
like,
is just the physical
chug water
getting
before
up.
You go to bed. Come on.
I know, I've done that for so long, but I don't know,
it's
the older I get,
changer.
The harder it gets to drink. Like,
I respect that.
All right, so shall we take
on
it
that
to
note.
Our favorite segment?
Woohoo! It's time for
Mary Kill
Ponfar! Woo! Hey everybody, welcome to Mary Kill Ponfar. So this is a segment. Woohoo! This is a segment where I give Alex a choice of three characters from the episode that we just watched, and I ask him who he wants to marry, who he wants to kill, and who he wants to commit to Ponfar with, which is like a hookup every like what, 7 years or so?
Yep.
Pretty low commitment. So the three characters from the episode that we just watched, like you said, you know, not a whole lot of new guys floating around. I feel like this one has an obvious answer, but I'm just gonna throw it to you anyways. Okay, contestant number one, Captain Kirk. Contestant number two, Commander Spock. And contestant number three, Captain Pike. But wait, it's the new actor for Pike in a wheelchair with the fucked up makeup.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna kill him. He's already half dead anyway.
Come on, give him a chance.
No, he's gone. He's already dead. Although apparently he's quite agile.
Oh yeah, just like disappearing. I think the assumption is that Spock kidnapped him.
Yeah, I think so too. I assume he beamed him out of there, but
oh, that makes think more they sense. Would have, I pictured him like running in and grabbing it and pushing it out, which is funny.
Rolling around really quick. You'd like to think they'd have some sort of safeguard against him just being to beam out of there too, like that. But whatever.
No such thing, I guess.
Right? Yeah. So now I'm just picking once again between Kirk and Spock. yeah, I'll still marry Spock and Ponfar with Kirk.
Okay.
Per always. Okay, I'm guessing you're gonna pick the same thing as me because that was
the
obvious
choice. Yeah, of course.
Choice.
It's the obvious choice. I just thought it was funny.
Okay, mine is similar, but different.
Okay.
Captain Kirk, Captain Pike, but not in the wheelchair, young Captain Pike.
Uh-huh.
Or Captain Picard.
Ooh.
The three captains.
Oh, that's hard. I don't want to kill any of them. Okay, I think I have to kill Captain Pike because even though he's the hottest, potentially, just like aesthetically speaking, he's the person that I have the least like emotional connection with.
Sure, and he's a little whiny the amount of time we do spend with him.
Yeah. Okay, I don't think that Kirk or Pike... No, I don't think Kirk or Picard would be, like, great partners for me. I feel like for both of them, I could see, like, huge problems and, like, ways that we wouldn't be compatible. Mm-hmm. But I think that I could, like, do better about negotiating a, like, relationship where I felt, like, cared for and respected with Picard. And so I think I gotta marry Picard and Ponfar with Kirk.
Mm.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think I'll trade Kirk and Picard. I think I'll Ponfar with Picard.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that I think Picard is a little bit emotionally constipated.
Definitely.
Especially when it comes to romance and like a relationship, and commitment seems like really not his thing.
Whereas yeah,
Kirk,
totally.
I feel like, could figure it out. You know,
that's
while
a really
he
good
is kind
point.
Of a Wild West fun all over
he,
the galaxy
he
kind
wants
of guy.
To settle down one day.
Yeah, exactly. I think he has that in him. And I think he's a bit more of a romantic too. I mean, for sure, Kirk is more of a romantic.
Picard is a romantic in a very specific way, in kind of a gay way.
Yeah, he's very scholarly in his approach to just about everything.
Yeah.
And then Kirk also is, I think, is just a little more fun than Picard. Picard is pretty uptight.
Okay.
So while Picard is maybe more stable on in some ways and more consistent, whereas Kirk's a little passion. More of a wild card, I think I'm going to go with Kirk. I'm going to marry Kirk and I'm going to Ponfar with Picard.
Okay.
Actually, no, wait. No, I'm not. I'm going to Ponfar with Pike. He's way better looking. I'm sorry. I have to kill Picard. Like,
oh my God.
I love Captain Picard, but like... I didn't pick him to marry, and if I'm just picking a fuck buddy, it doesn't make sense to pick him over good-looking Captain Pike.
Oh, that's so fair. You don't like that hairy chest? The bald head and the hairy chest?
He is, I don't know, he's kind of a stud in his own way, but, he's nothing against Pike. He's a good-looking, young, like, muscly guy.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair.
So yep, I total shuffle, I picked an entirely different lineup than you.
Yeah, I love that.
Right, and that kind of brings us to the end here, or at least Woo-hoo. The end of part one.
Yeah, to be concluded.
Right, more to come. Whatever will happen.
I think Spock is going to get the death penalty.
and Lieutenant, what was his name? Lieutenant Miller or something, just some random guy. Lieutenant Clarence or something.
Like, oh my God.
He becomes the new captain of the ship from like this episode on. The guy who had two lines.
Everybody gets the death penalty.
You're in charge now. Sir!
I'm still.
That guy. He's now the main character.
I'm still not over the death penalty existing for the Federation. Like, that's deeply fucked up.
Yeah, right?
The death penalty shouldn't exist now on Earth, currently.
Yeah, probably not.
Damn. Space law.
Space law, indeed.
Don't break it. Don't break space law.
Mm-mm. You're going to be dead. Unless you're mud, you know, and then you just get psychiatric treatment that doesn't work.
Exactly.
Any closing thoughts?
Loving the romance of this episode and just like Kirk chasing Spock into space, knowing that he could never return without Spock's help. Like,
pretty
wow.
Romantic.
That's so romantic.
Right.
I'm here
I guess
for
I'll,
it.
I'll finish by rejoicing that they redid this original pilot and that they found use for it too, that it wasn't just a waste. So like,
that's true.
Things really
them.
Worked out perfectly. I gotta say it was very good idea to redo it. And then additionally good idea to still use
they
it.
They integrated it so well. Yeah.
I know they really lucked out that they chose to cast Spock a second time. Like,
that's true.
I was reading that Gene Roddenberry had to choose between Leonard Nimoy and Majel Barrett.
No.
For that he had to
Sophie's
pick one
choice.
Or the other.
And he made the right choice.
Spock, yeah. But then that he still managed to later squeak Majel Barrett in there.
Of course. He's like, and my girlfriend.
Right. But she's still a part of it anyway. Yep. So he got the best of both worlds, I guess.
Exactly.
That's Menagerie. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back for part two
part
in just
two.
A couple of weeks here.
Woohoo.
And until then, live long.
And prosper.
Thanks for listening to Star Trek The Original Siblings. Follow the show on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at STOSibsPod, or send us a subspace message at STOSibsPod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're at it, rate us 5 stars, or maybe write us a nice review. Tune in next time, and until then, live long and prosper.